Bucky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Not that old trick.
Oh, yeah. I think I've got it right this time. Nothing up my sleeve. And presto. Let's try that again. And presto. What the?
It looks like an iPod.
Yeah, it kind of sort of does, doesn't it?
Now here's something you'll really like.
Welcome to Technorama. This is show number 82 for February 13, 2006. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man bidding on eBay for suits at. It's my co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm okay. Come on. 20 seconds. 30. Oh, man, I missed it.
What was the reserve?
3.
Hate to pay shipping on that, baby.
No kidding. You have to catch it first.
We've got a lot lined up. Once again, we've got coming up in this show, another Griffin giveaway, so listen close and you'll hear how you can enter to win. We've got information about your safety on IE versus Firefox, and we've got, what else have we got? We've got a car that's expected to go, we've got a volume that's too loud, we've got a car that's expected to go 330 miles per gallon at least.
Yeah.
And many other things. Good questions from listener feedback again. But before we dig into that, let's spend a little time reflecting what happened on this day in tech history.
It seems so much like yesterday.
On this day in tech history for February 13th, 2006... This is February 13th, it's the 44th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 321 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1633 that Galileo Galilei arrives in Rome for his trial before the Inquisition. Thomas Edison observes the Edison effect on this date in 1880. I wonder what it was called before it was the Edison effect. Auguste and Louis Lumiere patent the cinematographe, a combination movie camera and projector, on this date in 1894. I hope it worked a lot better than my French. Yet on this date in 1960, France tests its first atomic bomb. It was on this date in 1997 that the tune-up and repair work on the Hubble Space Telescope is started by the astronauts from the Space Shuttle Discovery. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1743 to Joseph Banks, the English botanist and naturalist. Nobel Prize-winning physicist and eugenist William Shockley is born on this date in 1910. Happy birthday to Chuck Yeager, who turns 83. He's the first man to break the sound barrier. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for February 13th, 2006.
Do you want to get those relatives that are always asking you for help with their PCs off your back so that you can get back to Technorama Podcast? Then send them to me at www.typicalpcuser.com, home of the Typical PC User Podcast. Typical PC User Podcast. Help for the rest of us.
Mm. Get him off my back. Get him off my back. Get him off my back.
All right, that's enough.
All right.
Three little words. You got mail.
We have gotten mail. Our first one is from David Glaszewski. He's asking about iPod video on a pocket PC. He writes, I have another hack question for you guys. Purchased Battlestar Galactica Season 2 from iTunes and would like to view them on my pocket PC. Woohoo, BSG fan.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any DRM hack like Jheim that works on the videos or any player for pocket PC that will play Apple Music Store videos? Thanks again. And 101, P.S., you need another live show so I can buy you 10000 of beer. That would be a pint in binary.
Actually, I like the 10,000.
Oops, forgot to hit the decimal button. As far as what I know, not really. Craig, what have you got up your sleeve?
Well, I think it's Jheim, actually, as in like a song, like a gospel.
Jheim?
No, I think it's Jheim.
Jheim?
I think it's spelled wrong. Anyway, I was going to say Jheim. Anyway, I've used it before to do my music because I can't stand having my music only tied to my machine. You know, I don't file share or anything. I just want to, except for I want to share it with my devices, that's all. But as far as video go, I don't know of anything that does that. I did do a little searching and I didn't see anything off the bat.
Is it even possible to play them with or without the DRM, play them on a pocket PC?
Now, I recently set up my the Core Media Player on my pocket PC, and there, if you go searching around, you can find some couple of plugins to do the AAC audio. And of course, the MPEG-4 format, so which is what most of the podcasts are in, and they play fine. I've got a couple of subscriptions that I watch, like DLTV and a couple other ones like that. They play just fine.
It's possible.
Yes. Yes, it is possible. Engage.
Our next listener feedback is from the one and only Brian Kelly. He's the one who's been asking about the Firefox upload problems to various sources, including Gmail, and he says, ta-da-da, the issue is resolved. It turned out to be a corrupt Windows profile. I'm paraphrasing. Cool. He sent a whole bunch of other stuff in there, too. But that's the Mike from the Mike Tech Show was able to provide the answer.
Aw, damn that Mike. He beat me to it.
See, I always think about Windows profiles getting corrupt at work for some reason, because we use roaming profiles a lot, and it happens a lot. I don't even think about that in a home situation. I don't know why. Hmm.
And you know what? That probably explains a lot of problems I've had in the past. But, you know, I don't think about it like that either. I mean, you know, with Roman profiles, you know, you're going to have those kind of problems. But, yeah, you're right. I never thought about it. I'm on a local PC so much.
Now, the trick is, if you log in as somebody like with a local administrator and rename the appropriate directory in C:\ documents and settings, this is the helpful part of the show. Now, pay attention.
Okay.
You rename it. For example, I would rename mine chuck.tomasi to like chuck.tomasi.old. This is, again, under C:\ documents and settings.
Mm-hmm.
Then next time you log in, it will create a new one. So you've got your .old directory and you've got your current directory. You can go in and salvage the favorites directory, my documents, the cookies, everything pretty much except local settings and application data, and you'll be back in business by and large. It's kind of a pain in the butt, but it does work.
Yeah, it is a pain, especially when you got to set up email accounts like in Thunderbird or something like that, and that's always a pain. But yes,
it's better than having a whacked out thing that doesn't upload.
Yeah, and you know what? I do that in Linux too. Like if for some reason I want to start another user, I'll start another user and leave that one alone.
Mm-hmm.
But change the permission so I can get back in there and just, you know, all my stuff's still there. I'm all about the copying, man. Making copies for yourself. Not copying stuff, you know, making copies of your stuff. Psst. You know what I mean?
What'd you get for answer number 4?
Yeah.
That's the kind of copying I like to do.
Yeah. Shh, we're going to get caught.
Answer number 4 was, what is your name? Don't copy mine.
What's your favorite color? What'd you put down?
What's your opinion about this? We've got a voicemail from K.O. Right. She corrected me. It's not K.O. It's K.O.
I've been trying to tell you about that, Chuck.
Yeah,
right. Man, you just don't listen.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. I don't usually call you on Friday, but I wanted to. I just have a quick question for you. Chuck, where did you get that Mr. Wizard thing from? That was hilarious. See ya. Bye.
She liked the Mr. Wizard bit. That means we're getting old.
You're right.
We've run into somebody who doesn't know about Mr. Wizard. Mr. Wizard was a show on television a few years ago. Well, more than a few years ago. That
in Chuck's world,
he would try to explain that science is fun, a lot like Bill Nye the Science Guy. Only he always had this dorky little sidekick kid who go, "Mr. Wizard, where do turtles come from?"
Hey, let me tell
of course,
you,
they kid. Never asked insinuating questions like that. It was always, "How does rain fall and turn into snow and all that kind of garbage?" And then he'd go on to this dissertation and,
"Hey, Mr. Wizard, where do babies come from?"
Timmy, this is a science show, not a locker room.
So that's kind of what you get the idea. If I remember right, I had one of these sweepers that had him in it.
I used to have people call all the time. 9 times out of 10, you're never going to get that.
Close enough for government. We're called none other than Technorama.
Enjoying Technorama.
He's also installed a robot. This thing's made out of a big whiskey bottle.
Working.
So that's kind of weird. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. You know what I thought about?
Pre-release.
Pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
I want to give a shout out to the chat room. We have a record number of participants in there. We've got Chad 1. And me, and Deckard X, Hook Show, KL, Kim and Devin, Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, I like that name, Mr. Gadgets is in there, we've got the RoboChuck 2000 ready to serve you beer, we've got Craig Stepp doing the show, we've got Tim Elliott, Victor Cahiao from the Typical PC and Typical Mac User podcast, and Zahadoom. Hey, I got all the pronunciations right this time.
No, you didn't.
Who did I miss?
KO. You said it wrong.
I said KO.
Okay.
KO.
Kind of like Victor's last name.
We're going to make a song.
KO.
KO. Or Caliente, or however Max the Mailman pronounces on his show.
Caliente.
All right, another thing you need to pay attention to is the next Griffin item up for grabs is on the webcam right now. It's an air click for the iPod. Clicks into the top, and you get a little remote control so you can control your iPod from afar. There's even a little armband, wristband thing that you can use while you're biking. Pretty cool thing. If you want to enter to win...
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Or you can also be annoying in Best Buy and play something on all those stations that are playing at the same time.
Oh, that would be fun.
I did that. I told you, I remember I played Technorama in the...
Oh, yeah.
In the local Best Buy.
If you want to enter to win, send email to Chuck plus, you guessed it, AirClick... at ChuckChat, at gmail.com. ChuckChat plus AirClick at gmail.com. And that will enter you to win. And don't forget the obligatory brown nosing compliments about how much you love the show and all that good stuff. We missed those on the last one.
Dude.
Yeah?
Okay.
I'm asking for it now.
No kidding.
Oh, wait a minute. My mouse missed.
I'm scared to say anything on the show anymore. You're going to stick it in one of those sweepers.
I say things on purpose to be in the sweepers.
It works perfectly. It was easy enough. Bam. Connected. And you don't need a PC to do it. I did it all with the remote control.
I'm certain about that.
What is this? Well, I'm game. I'll try it. I tried to do large. I did the small and the medium ones. No problem. Smooth as silk.
Smooth as silk, which brings
yes,
us to the news. I love that line. I'm scared to say anything. It might end up in one of these sweepers. It's in a sweeper.
I knew you would do that, so that's why I said that.
Oh, man, I'm being taken for a fool again.
That's right.
Craig, tell us a little bit about this first article you found about the nasty little truth about space-time physics.
Yeah, this guy was talking about how... that time travel wasn't going to be a viable thing. Said, sorry, folks, it just ain't going to cut it. Let's see. I'm trying to remember how they said this. It said that... did you read this? Because I'm trying to remember the theory. They basically were saying that time doesn't move. Time is always present. And so there is no Here you go. I'll read the first couple lines. Some of the most famous physicists in the world are not telling the truth about one of the most taken for granted concepts in scientific history. They are not telling us that they came up with their fancy full-time travel theories, wormholes, advanced and retarded wave traveling.
Retarded wave traveling.
I don't think I've heard those words put in the same sentence before. Using a model of the universe that precludes the possibility of motion. Apparently, I don't understand all the physics behind it, but the guy was saying...
He's ripping on everybody.
He was ripping on all of them. Stephen Hawking, Kip Thorne, General Al Dallin, on the line.
Michio Kaku, Carl Sagan's in there. Albert Einstein makes the the top of the list, or bottom of the list in this case. And he gives a reason.
He was calling him out, though.
Yeah, there's a paragraph on every one of these guys. It's like, holy catfish, man.
Yeah, it was. I think it was, let's see, I'm trying to remember exactly how. See, I read it, but I don't understand it because I'm kind of simple minded.
We're one of those retarded waves.
Yeah, I figured out the string theory, and that's like my, everything I know about all this can fit on the width of a string.
Oh, it fell off.
So anyway, you may want to come check it out. He's basically calling all these guys out, saying that, that their theories are incorrect about time travel.
The next one we've got is the spyware barely touches Firefox, according to Yahoo News. They go into how they set up an unpatched version of IE and an unpatched version of Firefox, mm-hmm. and went after 45,000 websites, and their results turned up 1.6% of the domains infected the first IE configuration, and 0.6%. I'm scanning to find that math. Where was it? He said, these numbers don't sound like much, said Gribble. But consider the number of domains on the web. There are, you know, millions of them. So even if you hit 0.6, that's a lot of possible infections.
It was 1.6% of the domains infected the first IE configuration, which was the unpatched and ready-to-go type.
Most of the exploits that leveraged IE vulnerabilities to plant spyware were based on ActiveX and JavaScript. Wow, imagine that. There's news we haven't heard before.
Yeah.
So he said, obviously you want to run a patched version of anything, whether it's IE or Firefox or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Microsoft made a point to stress that Internet Explorer 7, which just went into open beta for Windows XP, tightens up ActiveX controls by disabling nearly all those already installed. IE 7 then alerts the user and requires consent before it will run an in-place control.
Well, see, I got a problem with Microsoft even pointing that out because, look at it this way. Is IE 7 out yet? No.
Yeah, the beta is, and I heard it got really sad reviews.
Really? I've seen mixed. I've seen some people say, hey, it's a lot. It's great. But nobody said that it's better than Firefox. However, what I have heard is that, you know, if you think about it, IE is playing catch up to Firefox. But at any rate, I digress. They were saying that only 0.9% of the domains infected Firefox.
Well, it's less, but
0.09.
Get your patches out there, folks.
Yeah, patch them up. Yeah, why not? Smoke. Even if you do use IE,
smoke them if you got them. On to the hacks and strange stories. We've got a Trekkie that went a little bit overboard with Photoshop.
Yes, I'm all for, what is it, is it a Trekkie or a Trekker? Which one's like the passive fan and one of them's like the heavy hitter?
I always thought it was the old school were Trekkies. The new school didn't want to be called that, so they made up Trekkers, but that's just my take on it. Yeah, I'm a Trekkie. Hmm.
Okay, well, so am I. And, you know, but this guy has like 200 pictures of him photoshopped in all these Star Trek scenes.
This is really sad.
I mean, have you done this, Chuck? Have you photoshopped yourself in with Kirk?
No.
Made yourself the captain of the Enterprise B?
Standing there with Savick in the Search for Spock. He's in one of the... He's in Chekhov's outfit in Wrath of Khan. Just I keep all over the place.
I can't remember the actor's name, but on Enterprise B, I keep thinking of Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That's
remember he was the he was Enterprise B captain, and the guy had his self photoshopped on his head, you know, placed his head And it's like him and Kirk looking at the captain's chair, you know, like they're going to, here, please, Captain Kirk.
This anyway. Guy must spend more time in Photoshop than I spend in GarageBand and Audacity doing those sweepers.
Man, he had, I'm serious. It was like, I did the slideshow, and it's like, it kept going, it kept going, it kept going. I was like, jeez, where's it? Even I'm calling him out. Jeez, that's pretty bad.
Hey, how about this Uber hybrid you found? How many miles per gallon?
It says this thing can go about 330 miles per gallon, but it will sell for slightly under $20,000. It's actually pretty cool.
Is it going to haul anything besides two people? It honestly, it looks like something off of Dr. Seuss. That's all I can think of. Is you can just picture the Cat in the Hat driving this buggy.
I'm thinking, like, you know, you take a plane, take the wings off, where you got just the fuselage, and you got these two wheels sticking off the front and one in the back under the fuselage. So, you know, it's very aerodynamic. And it says you can go cross country on a tank of gas. So, I don't know. It looks pretty futuristic. I like the little mock up of it. For $20,000? I mean, come
on. Well, that's not bad.
Well, wait a minute. I take that back. As, you know, now I think about it, that's probably not so bad, but it's got to have a place for a little luggage.
Well, if you're just using it to go to and from work, heck, you could do that all year.
Mm-hmm.
So
your gas would go bad before you ran it all out.
Now, is this truly a hybrid? Is it using gas and electric?
It says it's a hybrid two-seater, so it doesn't really go into the specifics. I don't even know. I guess it used normal gas.
They're calling it a hybrid all through the article.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, so... They didn't really go into any specifics, did they?
Mm-mm.
So, anyway, you can go look at it. It looks cool. Looks like I want it to jump up and fly off the ground now. You know, I was promised flying cars back in elementary school, and I'm still waiting.
Check this out.
A floppy disk, or cassette tape, is made up of ferric oxide. When a other magnet comes in proximity, it goes...
I think that's what I said, Chuck.
Thanks, Mr. Wizard!
The Google Web Accelerator.
The Google Web Accelerator.
Nope, no reverb on that one, buddy.
Oh, man.
Implying I had been surfing for 6 hours. Back, ye demon Google Web Decelerator, from my system and everything web connected.
I have a new iPod skin. That's in the news.
What was wrong with your old one?
It didn't have one. All I had to protect the screen was that factory plastic cover, and I kept it on since Christmas when I got this thing, knowing...
Hey, be sure to put sunblock on it.
Yeah, SPF 4500. Yeah. No, under FPF Craig's sunblock. Under sunblock. Craig's suggestion, I went to iSkin.com to look for an iPod skin, since I have the fifth generation iPod video. And my factory one was starting to peel at the corners like they all do. So I took a look around, and they had one called the Evo 3. Amazing that word just keeps coming up. And ordered it. It was a bit pricier than I would have liked, $35, but it's really nice. It's got a silicone skin that fits like a glove. Now, you got to remember when you're ordering to get the 30 gig or the 60 gig. I didn't know there were any difference in the physical dimensions of those two, but apparently there are, because there are two different Evo 3 skins for this thing. The only thing that's exposed when it's all tight and sealed up is the headphone jack. The switch is under a nice thin membrane. The click wheel is under a nice thin membrane. The screen has a full clear plastic shield that goes all the way around it and has a nice rounded corner that dips down. So the click wheel is actually recessed. It does make it a little thicker. It's about the dimensions now of a fourth gen. So it's lost its thin profile. But you know what? I carried around a fourth gen for a long time, and this doesn't bother me. It does not, however, according to contradiction to the claims that they make, it does not fit in the cradle. Even if you put in the wide body adapter, it's still too squeezy on the silicone skin. So I gave my dock back to Donna, since she doesn't have a skin on hers, and she can use it with her fourth gen, and I will just continue to use the cable. There is a little rubber trap door to expose or block up the dock connector. So again, the only thing that's exposed is the headphone jack. Nice skin. I got the red one just because I thought it looked sharp. Belt clip on the back. Should mention that. Very handy, because I am putting together the Batman collection on my belt.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Does it have a cut? You probably just said this. I'm not sure. Does it have a cover over the click wheel?
Yeah, it's a very thin membrane, and it impedes absolutely none. And if you know where all the controls are, you can still kind of see through it, so I can read the words menu and the play button. It also has them embossed, so you can feel where those little touch points are. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, after using the thing for a week, you know up is the menu and down is play pause. It's really not that hard to figure it out.
Well, see, I've got one on my fourth gen, and I like it. It doesn't have a cover over the click wheel, though. And so I have to, every once in a while, you know, raise it up or take it off and clean, you know, around it. Other than that, it's the same thing that you got. But I love it. I love that rubbery silicone feel. It didn't feel like, I mean, I love the way the iPod looks by itself. However, I would always felt like it just wanted to slide out of my hand with that chrome on the back.
It gets pretty slippery, especially if you've been eating Cheetos or something, potato chips, and your hand gets a little greasy. But
you're licking your iPod, getting the cheese off.
This has a nice grippy feel, and you know, you could go out in the rain when this would be completely protected because it is practically watertight. But I'm not going to make that claim 100%. So that's my review of the iPod Evo 3 iSkin. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned that Gizmodo was having a contest, and they put up these failing hard drive sounds, and I think we played some of them. You know, clunk, 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 clunk. And they wanted somebody to put a song together. There is a winner to this song, and I gotta admit, I kind of like this.
Chuck, I don't recommend playing this on your iPod because I'm in the car and I'm listening to this. I'm going to look at it.
This song makes the hair on the back of my neck stand on end.
I'm having nightmares already.
I am, man.
I'm having daymares.
Get the tape drive. Make a backup now. You know, it's funny as my micro drive from my old digital camera, if it's in a CF2 slot, it died a couple weeks ago. It makes a sound very much like some of the others. It goes,
hey, Chuck.
I should have mixed it in.
You said you're the IT manager now, right?
Yes.
You know what you should do is call one of the guys that works for you and say, can you hear this? And then, will you fix that?
It's got a good beat.
Can you
get
on this? Oh, wait a minute. Kevin Devin ought to play that for one of his people in the home office. Say, listen, it's a server.
Hello, help desk.
Not only is the hard drive going out, it's playing a cool song, too. Anyway. Impressive. All right. Let's move on.
All right. Do we have anything to move on to?
No. No, actually, we got no.
Okay. We have a special deal from, speaking of In the Trenches, I guess that's as close to a segue as we're going to get. George Starcher over at In the Trenches. Talk to the folks at Acronis. If you're interested in a good drive imaging backup software package, Acronis TrueImage 9.0 is out right now. They're not paying me anything to say this. I'm just passing on a friendly word because George got a deal. We got them to swing a deal. You go to Acronis TrueImage, you'll get 20% off if you enter Tech News Radio as your magic keyword, code word when you're checking out. That's it. Complete transparency. I'm telling you, they're not paying me anything. I'm just passing on a bargain that we are authorized to pass on to you as a member of Friends in Tech.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, did you catch Lance's show the other night?
I did not catch Lance's show. That's when I was recording my spot on In the Trenches, actually. Yeah. I was on the last one.
Yeah, go check that out, by the way. Chuck spills the beans on everything he's been doing the last couple weeks.
Good stuff. You get to hear the work side of my life since I never bring it here anymore.
Well, get this. Lance was on, had his live broadcast Friday night. I think it started around 10-ish at my time.
Yeah.
And he set up an account with Live 365.
Oh, that's how he did it.
Yes, he set up an account with Live365. It was a pay-for account, so he paid for I don't know how much it was exactly. But they were telling him that he had to keep a good playlist so he would stay listed. So he's like, well, okay. That's a live show that he was doing. Well, turns out that they cut him off about halfway through his show.
Oh, now, no.
For new people, because he thinks that something to that reason. Because Victor was asking me for the link, and I was like, here you go. Send him the link, and it wasn't working. It's like, okay. So I sent him the link that I had in iTunes, which was like a big URL, you know.
Uh-huh.
So Victor was able to get in, but I think they were giving him some trouble. They wouldn't allow any more streams to come to his show, so I don't know what the deal is with that. It's kind of weird.
I heard it was pretty good, what people did hear of it.
Oh, yes. Well, they didn't cut the stream off. They just cut off where your new people couldn't get on it.
Oh, okay.
So, but no, I listened to most of it. It was really good. I thought Lance did a good job kind of interviewing her, and they just kind of had conversation, and she sang some. It was really good.
Now, he also will be putting that on his podcast, right?
He is.
Which is available at digitalexperiencepodcast.com.
That's right. And I think coming, this week or very shortly, he'll have that up there. Now, also, I wanted something to bring this out. Victor over at Typical PC User and Typical Mac User Podcast, did you see his bill today? I think he sent you a picture of that bill, didn't he?
Yeah, Verizon wanted to bill him for some three-way calling.
Yeah, not just bill him, but ream him.
Monthly. $497,000, was it? Every month.
You know what's funny? It had all these services. Zero. You know, call waiting, $0. And it said three-way calling, $417,300 and whatever. I was like, holy cow. But it was an honest mistake.
What a bargain, man. Sprint, not Sprint, but, you know, next.
Verizon.
Cellular One charges twice that much. He's getting a deal. Sorry about that pause, ladies and gentlemen. I had the mute button on the music track down. And we're going to try this again.
Geek Thoughts.
To err is human. To blame your computer for your mistakes is even more human. It's downright natural.
This is Tornado Tim, Storm Chaser from Greeley, Colorado, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Who is this Tornado Tim person, you ask? Yes.
You can't fool Mother Nature.
Now, there's another old commercial we're going to get asked about. Tornado Tim is an interview I've got coming up. It will be released into the feed this week. He's a storm chaser, as you mentioned, from Colorado. Spent about 20, 25 minutes talking with him yesterday. Very good stuff. If you're interested, go to the website or subscribe to the feed. You're going to get quite an earful on the stuff he's got with him, how he got into it, what he's run into, even the most scariest story that he ever had.
Yeah.
And with
That sounds great. I can't wait to hear it myself. I haven't heard it yet.
There's my encouragement to finish editing.
Yes, please, Jack.
Like I said, it should be up in the feed on the Tuesdays when we usually do the interview stuff released into the wild. So with that, we're done.
Yep.
Take us out.
Oh, yes. Listener line 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. It's your turn to talk back to us. And you can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com and send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. You can email me, and you might just want to do that instead of Chuck because he didn't return all his emails. I'm just kidding.
You're the only one laughing at this point.
You can email me at kreg@chuckchat.com. And the biggest constant universe, come check out chuckchat.com for our forum, swag, webcam, and links to our new chat room that seems to be going along pretty nicely. So I got about 14 people in there, including RoboChef. At irc.freenode.net.
We've mentioned a couple times already this show is a member of the Friends in Tech gang. If you want to find out more about that stuff, forums are hosted there. Friendsintech.com, lots of good stuff. Good community growing. and hope you enjoy it. FrenzyInTech.com is where to go for all that stuff. Until next time.
101.
He fixed the reverb. Woohoo! Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Don't let your reverb get out of control like that.
Bye.
God, is that you?
No. Later.
I think it is time we demonstrated the full power of this station.